medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wapshal, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Kolos IS Support. Back with me this week and every week for now is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Haught Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Chandra. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm fine. I mean, it's as if you anticipate my absence in a future episode or something.
I kind of do, because guess what? I heard you're traveling for work. Yeah. So you were on the way to gaining back your...
My status?
Being back with me this week and every week. But I don't know. I think you're going to lose it again.
I'm going to lose it again? Very
yeah.
Brutal.
Oh, well.
So what are you up to? How's training going?
Training's great. I got one more big long run before I begin the taper. Ran 18 on Friday, ran trails on Saturday, ran trails today. Had some good elevation gain this morning. Someday I'll learn out here. Check all trails before you decide to pick a trail.
Did you lose your navigation privileges again?
Maybe. I might have been cut off. It was fun, though. It was beautiful, though. Oh, my gosh. Gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous trail.
So, worth the pain, then.
It was worth the pain. Absolutely. It was worth the 700 feet of elevation gain in less than the first 2 miles.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks.
Yeah.
I'll pass. It's like hitting a Stairmaster. Never mind. Ain't happening.
So how about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Went down to the Manitou Wine Festival this Saturday and enjoyed a few different types of wine and just kind of hung out in the sun and relaxed. It wasn't nearly as crowded as it's been in past years, so that was fun. It was a good time.
Oh, wait, wine and warm sun. That seems like a bad combination.
Well, yeah, for those who are irresponsible, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well.
But, you know, everybody there was on their best behavior for sure. Especially Batman.
Batman was there?
Batman was there.
Yeah. Wow. Did you talk to Batman?
I did not. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, that's a bummer. At least you saw him.
Yep.
Was he drinking wine? How do you drink in the Batman costume?
I didn't see him drink any wine. And he had kind of a mask underneath the mask. So I'm thinking that that would have been very difficult.
Oh. So Batman was just wandering through the crowds.
Yeah, I don't know. I was curious.
It's not like you're going to be there to entertain the children.
No, there's not going to be any kids. And I don't know that that many drunk people want to just get a photo with Batman or an autograph or what. So I wasn't really sure what the point was, actually.
Hey, to each
I mean, I get it. Yeah, I get it in Vegas. I mean, you got Bumblebee and you know, you got Batman and you got Spider-Man and all these other folks that hang out on the strip. But they take pictures with you and you tip them and stuff like that. I don't know that I go to the Manitou Wine Festival for a picture with Batman, and it just doesn't work for me.
Like I said, to each their own. If you want to wander the wine festival in your Batman costume, you go for it.
There you go. All right. Well, what are we doing this week? I think last week you talked about logs at some point, so I assume that we're going to talk about that again this week or get into log reading or the complexities or the challenges or whatnot.
Yes, you are correct. In fact, in episode 108, we did talk briefly about logs when we were talking about how complex E1 is and how challenging it can be to troubleshoot, especially when we were talking last time. We were just talking about web runtime, but then it became very apparent to me during that discussion, web runtime is very much complicated. I mean, it impacts everything. So I was like, wow. That's got to be really hard to troubleshoot. So we're going to talk about logs this week.
Okay.
Troubleshooting. Okay.
Wonderful. Can't wait.
I know. I figured you would be really excited for this one.
I bet
you've read a log or two in your day.
Back in the day, yes.
Yeah.
This is obviously one of our primary tools for troubleshooting. So anybody that's spent any time developing in Enterprise One is likely familiar with logs, and or at least some of the logs. There are logs I've never seen, used, or heard of. So I figure it can get fairly complicated and confusing as to which logs do we have, where do you enable them, and what do you use them for? So when you are troubleshooting, which ones do you need? Which one do you use? And of course, the first time somebody calls support, what happens? What's the first question you usually get? Even now with our new agents, support agents that are supposed to be helping us, what's the first question that they usually still ask you?
Can you send me the logs?
Exactly.
Maybe I've been asked that question once or twice. I don't know.
Possibly. Maybe. Possible.
Yeah, maybe. We will link to my favorite KM article, or maybe it's KB article now. I don't know. I think it's KB stands for knowledge base, maybe. It's KB612365. Of course, that was really easy for me to find on the new CMOS. I'm saying.
Well, if you knew the KB number, which obviously you found, I believe when we were talking about this earlier, you searched with the KM number 1060095, is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
So just note, if you're trying to find this, we will link it in the show notes, but if you want to go out to CMOS, click the resources tab first up top before you initiate your search. It might help. I'm not saying it will help. Might depend on the time of day. I don't know.
Well, considering you and I were searching for it at the same time and got completely different results with the same search, that's all I'm going to go with.
Well, we asked two different agents, in other words, and we got two different answers. What do you expect?
Well, that's just like people. Ask two different people, you'll get two different responses.
Ask the same person, same question, two different days, you might get two different answers.
Well, also true.
This is just acclimating us to the fact that we've got this digital workforce now.
Exactly.
We're going to call this a feature.
Love it.
All right. Well, how do we want to get into this?
Well, I guess how many times has Oracle support maybe asked somebody like me, maybe as when I was a younger BA, asking for logs and I didn't know where to find them.
Right.
Like when I first started, I'm like, how do I send logs? What's that mean? What kind of log? Are there multiple logs?
Right.
Those were all the things that kind of spun through my head.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can at least walk down through a couple of different types of logs today. I think it's probably important for people to understand why we always ask, right? So you're absolutely right. You call up support and the first thing they're going to ask for is logs. And if you're not familiar with how to capture them or what they are, you get that blank stare. But regardless, you're probably going to need a CNC. This stuff is out of sight, out of mind. You probably don't have access to Server Manager console, which is where you need to go to enable a lot of these things and capture them. So you're going to have to engage somebody else. But why are you being asked to do that? And the main reason is that they effectively tell the story, right? You got to appreciate that. Well, I think about it when you take your car into the shop, right? You got something going on. You see the check engine light. So guess what? You got a warning. You got an error. And you say, hey, what does this mean? What does the tech do? He basically plugs it into the computer and captures a diagnostic. It spits out a couple numbers to them and they go figure out what the numbers mean to figure out what the heck's wrong with your car. And all we're doing when we're capturing these logs is capturing the diagnostics of the system so that we can understand maybe what happened. I think it's very, very important for people to understand. You've said it before, JD Edwards is very flexible, but you already said it earlier that also given its different components like web runtime and whatnot, it's also very complicated. It's sophisticated. So with all its flexibility between, you know, all the various operating systems that you can run, all the different platforms, all the different databases, your own customizations, your own configuration of the system, and then of course your own extensions, right? You've potentially
your own database, your own
That combination of factors makes it very difficult sometimes for us to be able to reproduce an issue. And it can be, you know, it's not always guaranteed, but it can be much more efficient to simply capture a solid debug log or UBE log, depending on what it is that you're troubleshooting, to help tell the story of exactly what happened. And that allows an engineer to search for specific errors, to try to see maybe what's wrong. Is there an out-of-memory error in the log? Is there data structure mismatches in the log? Are there pointer failures? I mean, there's other things that we might be able to see in the log that tell a completely different story than whatever it is that you see on the screen, right?
Right.
Yeah, think about it, the breadcrumbs, right? It tells you what the logic did so you can follow the log through the code and you can actually see what happened. So that also, without having to capture all the different data and all the different processing options and all the different information in your system, if you follow the trail of the log through the code, you can see all the conditions that get hit and you can infer some of the information about your system, how you have it configured and what you're using, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why it's a faster way to troubleshoot without having to rely on Oracle to be able to reproduce your exact issue.
Right, because that's almost impossible.
True.
Just considering all the different variations that people could have, you know, which version am I running? Which database am I running? Which configuration do I have? Like, what are my processing options on this? Is there a customization in here? There's just so many variables.
And then you think of the feature functionality stuff like advanced pricing. Yeah. You've been talking about landed cost. I mean, those things have a lot of different setup involved that can manipulate the behavior of the system. Again, trying to get us to mirror exactly what you have is, hey, guess what? Let's just go straight to, you know, I'd say it's either logs or let's just go straight to a dial-in. Many times, but that's just me. I like to cut to the chase. But anyway.
That's fair. So if I do hop on to my Oracle support or, you know, give you all a call, what are the first logs that the development teams usually want to see if my ticket is going to development or in support in general? Which logs are they going to want first?
There's a lot of different types of logs. The first log that you're probably almost always going to capture is the JDE log, which is kind of that's the most basic, almost always on logging that happens, right? So you're probably going to get asked for that. You're going to get asked possibly for the JDE debug log. And the reason that you're going to get asked for that does capture what's happening on the enterprise server. So with the way a lot of our transactions, our applications, or even our batches, right, our UBEs, but the way a lot of things are designed, a lot of the business logic runs on the enterprise server, and a lot of the table IO gets initiated from the enterprise server. So given our architecture, the JDE debug log is a good default to go look at to see what business logic is running, what database operations are occurring, that sort of thing. So
like the inserts, the updates, deletes, etc., right? Those are your database operations that you're kind of looking for in there.
Yeah, it's all your CRUD operations, but it's also going to have your call stack. So what you'll be able to tell is what functions called what functions, called what functions. And when I say functions, I'm primarily talking about business functions. So you can see what business functions are involved and where a potential error happened and in what function and under what condition, et cetera, et cetera. So again, it gives you a blueprint of what the logic was doing effectively at that time. So since most of our logic is sitting in business functions, a JDE debug log is a very powerful log for us to capture. Granted, the thing about the JDE log is you don't necessarily need to enable it, but the JDE debug log you do. Right.
Okay, so that's one where I need either CNC or a developer that has access to Server Manager to enable that level of logging, if you will, or that type of log.
Yep, okay. Exactly. The good news is if you can reproduce your issue in something like DV or PY and not necessarily have to go to production, that gives you a lot more flexibility when it comes to logging. Nobody likes to turn logging on in production because obviously, for us to have to write out to this file and record all this information takes time. So it's going to slow the performance of the system down. Yes, you can turn on logging for a specific user. You can even get down to a specific job or process to try to isolate that and minimize the impact. But generally speaking, turning on logs in production is kind of frowned upon. It's the last ditch effort. Like if we cannot reproduce this anywhere else, we're going to have to go turn on logs in PD. Generally speaking, you're going to do this in PY. You'll do it in DV instead. So
absolutely. Yep. That has been always my first in troubleshooting any issue that one of my users has or has had is to try to recreate it in my lower environments first. And then I can turn on logging there. Yep. I have had to have my CNC turn on logging for a specific user in production. We do try to maybe ask that user, hey, could you try this a little bit later when the system's a little less busy? Can we coordinate this? And, you know, most of the time our users are very willing to do that if we are experiencing rather high system volume during the midday or something, right? Mm-hmm. Can we wait till later on in the day or do it maybe really early in the morning? So we have taken that approach a couple times as well. So.
Now, if you're running a batch job, so you're running a UBE of some sort, mm-hmm. you're probably going to get asked for UBE logs. Again, it gives you a different level of insight into the UBE. The universal batch engine captures some diagnostic about what's actually happening there. And similarly, then, you got two primary types of objects. You get your applications, you get your batch jobs, right? So UBEs will capture some of the inner workings of your batches. You've also got RT debug logs, runtime. Learned that one last week, right? And Jazz debug logs, both of which will capture what's happening on your web server, on your application server. So it'll give you a little bit more insight into what's happening. To your point last week, things get complicated because we've got our web servers and we've got our enterprise servers and we got our database servers and we've got a lot of other servers. And each one of those effectively has its own set of logging that will help you troubleshoot that specific server. So when you string a few of these things together, you can get a pretty good picture of what's going on.
Got it. Mm-hmm. For like your UBE and your Jazz log, are those ones that you need to have your CNC turn on?
I believe
most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
I don't know if some organizations maybe leave that on. I feel like that would be risky too. No. There's a lot of UBEs that are executed, right. Okay.
So I think we covered, you got the JDE log, you got a JDE debug log, you got the UBE debug logs, you've got the Jazz log, I think there's the E1 root log, don't ask me about that one right now, RT debug log, and then of course there's actually a Jazz debug log on top of it. So again, to capture some of these, some of them are on by default, like the JDE log, I'm guessing the Jazz log and maybe even the E1 root log are on by default, like it's just capturing the basic information of what's transpiring on those. But anytime you see debug, that's where you need somebody to like flip the switch for you. So that's going to be your JDE debug log, your UBE debug log, your RT debug log, your Jazz debug log, et cetera, et cetera. So anywhere where you see debug, that's definitely where you need to get your CNC engaged in order to enable it and capture it. So
sounds like we could have some fun with like a log reading episode or episodes series, maybe.
I mean, that's kind of, I thought where we would go, or you've talked about log reading in the past. And it's like, well, before we get into reading one of these logs, we should probably share with everybody what logs we have, number one, and number two, why they're important. So that, you know, before we jump into the bowels of, let's say, the JDE debug log. But, you know, there's some common troubleshooting scenarios too. To a certain degree, this is probably second nature, second hand for most people. It's like, okay, so based on what we just described, if I've got an application involved, so I get an error in P4310, then I'm probably going to obviously grab the JDE log like we talked about, but you're probably going to grab the JDE debug log like I said, and then maybe you're going to grab some of those HTML logs, right? The Jazz debug log, right? And the RT debug log in order to get the full picture. Similarly, with UBEs, if you get a UBE failing overnight, you do the same thing. You grab the JDE log, you grab the UBE log, you grab the UBE debug log, if you can reproduce it, right? And then you still grab your enterprise server logs, which primarily is your JDE debug. Because again, you want to try to paint the full picture of what's happening, right? There's other scenarios. The two others that I can think of off the top of my head is memory. Something fails, you get a application header failure in one of your apps. Oh, it's like the dreaded.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Do you see that and you go, that's not good. Okay. That means something crashed, something died. Congratulations. And you're going to want to grab a similar set of logs to try to get the full picture. Performance, again, you're going to use these logs in a similar fashion depending on what you're troubleshooting. But what you're looking for in each one of these cases now starts to change a little bit. So you may be capturing some similar diagnostics, but the way in which you analyze those diagnostics and the way you approach it suddenly shifts. So anyway.
This is one where maybe sometimes you have to get your infrastructure team involved too, right? When you're looking at performance.
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I think what typically happens is this gets kind of like you're going after the symptoms versus the root cause. So you probably end up getting to your infrastructure folks after you've basically logged a SR with JD Edwards because you chase the symptom, which is P4210's running slow or my GL post isn't finishing or whatever. And that's the symptom, right? So you got to get down in the root cause. And after you peel the layers of the onion, your diagnostics, when they point to latency, oh, okay, I need to go get the infrastructure team involved because why is it taking 90 seconds between business function initiation and business function execution? Not that it would take, you know, maybe it's 90 milliseconds or something like that, but I'm joking. I'm exaggerating with the 90 seconds, but you know, or you could see timeouts, right? You start seeing timeouts in your logs and you start to wonder, okay, what's going on? And so you may need to cast a broader net. And, you know, we don't want to get into the
details and weeds
of troubleshooting performance. It's almost never singular. That's just been my case. I just say when it comes to performance, chances are the first thing you want to figure out is it really just this one job that is performing poorly? Or is it a more system level problem where it's like, look, the overall system needs a tune, right? We need to up the overall performance of the system, which again, performance issues are the nastiest things to troubleshoot. They're the nastiest things to work on. And I would just say one last thing about them, which is if you think coding is the solution to a performance issue, then you're way like coding is your last ditch effort. It's going to give you the least amount of give back and it's the most costly, risky thing you can do. So if we're having to code and design something differently on the fly, you got to think about that. That's not where you want to be. And unfortunately, when we get these, that's what I get a lot is just change the code and make it go faster. Then I know we're in for a really long, slow haul.
Especially when, okay, customer A is reporting an issue that they've been on the same code base for quite some time, right? Mm-hmm. I can imagine the interactions on that. In my prior life, we've had the performance problems a couple times at different times, some of which we did involve your team for, some of which we did not because we were able to isolate the issue being disaster response, DR.
Oh, sure.
JDE is very sensitive to DR and that can cause some very troublesome things.
Yeah.
Let's absolutely. Just put it that way.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of things over the years, right? I mean, you don't want to be running backups in the middle of the day. You don't want to be doing virus scans on every, you know, you'd be surprised as to some of the stuff that actually does happen. But when you do log something in those cases, we do have a performance stability and reliability team that can engage and help look at things more systemic, if you will. Is that the right word? I don't know. But
broadly.
Yeah, cast a broader net versus they generally don't just dive in. It's okay, we're just going to go troubleshoot this one thing in isolation. But anyway, we can get more into that when we go through how to use logs and how to read logs and maybe those scenarios that we just talked about. Let's take an interactive application and let's take that scenario and how would we use the logs and what would we look for versus if it's a UBE, what are some of the things that we would look for versus if it's a memory issue or a performance issue? Maybe those are the four scenarios we try to walk through in future episodes.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. So what are the most common logging mistakes you've seen over the years? I know one. This has happened.
Go ahead.
You left the debug logging enabled in production.
Yeah, you probably only do that once. That's like deleting the blank UDC, right?
You
only do it once.
Yeah, you learn that lesson real quick.
Yeah, oops. I think the level of logging is another one. So you'll end up running a batch and we'll ask you for a debug log, but you've got it set to like 3. And 3 doesn't really tell me anything. I need 6. So now what do you got to do? You got to go back and you've got to reproduce the issue and recapture the logs. The next thing that comes up is, especially when we're talking in batches, because batches can run for a long time, the size of those logs gets huge. And sometimes they get too big, where they fill up, they truncate, or they become difficult, obviously, to upload, right? They're just too big. They're too big to actually handle. And, you know, there's tools that you then have to use to actually chop them up.
Parse them out.
So there's things that you have to be mindful of. So when you call up and you say, GeoPost has been running for 6 hours and then it dies, don't give me 6 hours worth of logs. It's probably not going to help, you know, that type of thing. It's like, okay, let's start with a window and capture a window of time first and try to figure that out. You know, this probably is bad for me to say. I really appreciate that people want to be proactive. And that's kind of what we're saying is you're going to get asked for this stuff. So you should know about it ahead of time. You should capture it. But I've also seen it time and time and time again that in an attempt to be proactive, you go capture what you think you should be capturing. You throw it up there and we crack it open and we go, well, that isn't what I was looking for. Like, you missed the process. Like,
oh, no.
You got the wrong log, or you captured the wrong process. So the evidence of what went wrong isn't even in whatever it is that you're uploading, right? Or you captured the wrong step. So it's like, that's not what, okay. Thank you. You got the end step where everything crashed, but actually what I need is 3 steps ahead of that. So I guess what I'm asking there is, I'm not saying don't be proactive and don't try to help. I absolutely do that, but be patient, because chances are until we've taken a closer look at exactly what's going on, we're not going to necessarily know exactly what we need. So don't be surprised if there's still iteration there. If it's still, okay, we need you to go back, we need you to redo this, we need you to now capture this, or, you know, especially in tools, we may give you diagnostic code. We may be like, okay, good try, didn't work. Let me basically instrument the code a little bit differently to write some additional stuff out to the log, give you that to run in your system to recapture the details so we could actually maybe see a little bit more about what's going on. So my ask is, we're giving you the information to try to be proactive and to try to accelerate the process or facilitate root cause analysis. Don't be surprised if we iterate. So,
all right. Obviously, stay tuned for future log education sessions. So that's good. But of course, can't wrap up an episode without a Midwesternism.
Oh, great. What do you got this week?
Well, this week, I'm kind of curious, since you mentioned you went to the Manitou Springs Wine Festival.
Yep.
Did you tie one on?
That's it. I didn't go fly fishing. No, I didn't tie a fly on and go fishing. You just said I went to the wine festival. So, strange question.
Not really. Tie one on is also known as getting drunk, hammered, schnookered.
Oh, schnookered.
Yeah.
I thought schnookered was getting trapped. Are we going to have this debate again versus schnookered versus schnockered?
We might have to, yeah. It's a good debate. Yeah, I mean, we'll have to go back and listen to, what was it, episode 11 where we talked about it?
Still think it's schnockered, personally. So, but no, I did not tie one on. We all behaved responsibly and enjoyed ourselves. So it was a good talk, but no tie one on, no getting schnockered, no getting schnookered.
No getting hammered, no getting, insert whatever adjective you'd like to use for the word drunk.
Yes, exactly.
Well, good. Thanks. I'm glad you were responsible and had a good time. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at thejdeconnection@questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.